God, we thank you for, we just thank you for your precious word. Lord, I often think, where would we be without it? So, Lord, give us ears to hear what you have to say tonight. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as a professor at school, I read a lot. I read articles, I read books, I read portions of books, I read student papers. And in the last couple of weeks, I heard or read just this little saying about fruit and flowers. And it's so stuck with me that I've just been meditating on it. Now, I have to tell you, I always want to give credit where credit is due, and I can't quite remember where I read it or heard it or saw it. It could be Penny Maxwell, I don't know. But I'm just telling you that, you know, sometimes we see things, we hear things, and it becomes like a seed, and God just pulls it down into our heart. And that helped me to start thinking about what we're going to share about tonight. Living for the harvest. Living for the harvest. And I wish Pastor Brad was here because I want that to be a pun. For those of you who are watching online, maybe you're not a part of Harvest. We have a pastor here who is a pun expert. So I want to start reading tonight in John chapter 15. Yes, I'm reading starting at verse 5. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. And those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me or abide in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain or abide in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to the Father. So let's look at, just for a moment, flowers and fruit. What is the difference between fruit and flowers? Well, we know certain things. All fruit comes from a flower, but not all flowers become fruit. That's also true of vegetables. Every year, I grow the biggest zucchini flowers ever. And I'll have to stop there. If there was something that you could do with zucchini flowers, we would eat really well. It just doesn't seem to make it all the way through to the fruit. If I get one or two a year, it's a great crop. Now, what we know is that the flower always comes before the fruit. And each has a distinctive fragrance, a color, and a size. Do you know, I listened to a vine dresser talk about the different kinds of grapes that they grow at the vineyard. And she can, just by smelling the fragrance, tell if it's a Merlot or a Cabernet. They each have such distinct fragrances. Flowers are beautiful to look at, and they provide vivid color for the landscape. I love having fresh flowers at my house. But when I go to look at a bouquet, my husband often spoils me by bringing them home. But when I'm at the store and I look at the bouquet, I always have to think, is this worth it? Like, am I going to be home? Am I going to leave? Are we going out of town somewhere? Because they're only good for such a short amount of time. Fruit, on the other hand, is delicious to eat and provides nourishment to the body. It takes a lot of patience to wait for fruit to ripen. Look at this video. This is about an apple. Did you ever stop and think of that? That little squiggly thing at the bottom of the apple is really where the flower was. 21 days and 143 days. Look at the difference there. It takes 21 days from the time the apple tree starts to put out its leaves for the flowers to appear. It takes 143 days to get the fruit. The apple tree produces fruit 2 to 10 years after it's planted. It all depends if it comes from a sapling or a seed. 2 to 10 years after it's planted. A grapevine can also take up to 3 years to produce fruit. Just because you plant it doesn't mean it's going to get the fruit quickly. Blueberries also take up to 3 years to produce any kind of fruit. Apple trees need to cross-pollinate with one another, with other apple trees. They cannot bear fruit alone. Young apple trees need all the vegetation removed in about a 4-foot radius around them. That includes grass and weeds, because all of those things are competing for water. So young trees, probably 2 years and younger, need to be watered weekly. And you have to keep the vegetation cleared out so it doesn't steal the water from the tree. What does that say about discipleship? The more I started thinking about this, the more I thought of harvest as an orchard. You know, we've got saplings that have been planted, people that have transplanted in maybe from other places, people who have come back to know the Lord after maybe being away from Him. I would call those people kind of saplings. They've got some kind of foundation. But what about the seeds that are being planted and we just watch them grow? We have to be careful not to step on them. And we have to take the time to water them. And we have to teach them to get rid of all the weeds. And you would say, why should I get rid of the grass? The grass seems good. Do you know there are periods in our lives where we have to make sacrifices? We have to do without certain things so we can get the nourishment that we need. Like putting down our phones sometimes, or turning off the TV, or choosing not to go somewhere rather than maybe staying in the Word. You know, if the enemy can't keep us out of church, what he wants to do is keep us from growing. And he wants to keep us from producing what we need to produce. Apple trees can last over 100 years. Now, some of the newer varieties, we call them, they're dwarf trees. They only last 20 to 30 years. But can you imagine an average tree might produce between 50 and 80 years. And each year they produce 700 to 800 apples. Now, we're talking about big trees. 35,000 apples from one tree. That doesn't happen unless they get pruned, unless they get the requisite amount of sun and of water. Similarly with the grapevines, a good vine will produce about 20 pounds of grapes a year. And one vine can live between 50 and 100 years. That could be anywhere between 1,000 and 2,000 pounds of grapes. Wow. Think about that for a moment. We need the fruit, but we often settle for the flowers. It's so much easier to go out and snip off some of those beautiful flowers and bring them in, and the aroma fills the house, and we love to look at them, but how long do they last? My son was married last week, and I carried the bouquet today. It was over at our house for a while, and I carried it back to their house, and I looked at it, and the middle is really beautiful, but the outside's kind of, well, it's been disconnected from its source, and so it's not looking that pretty. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with flowers, but I'm saying in this particular scripture, it just reminds me of what it takes to hold on to the fruit that God wants to produce in us. And how sometimes we get so excited about the bouquet. Oh, look how lovely this is. Look what I did. Isn't it beautiful? And we can all say, yeah, it is. But it's going to die. Rather than going that 143 days, or maybe even those couple of years to start to see fruit. You know, a tree can produce flowers that never actually make the fruit. It takes a while for the tree to gather all the nutrients that it needs to push that fruit out. Again, why do we settle for flowers that quickly fade when we can have the fruit that God promised? John 15:4 says, remain in me, abide in me, and I will abide in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you can't be fruitful unless you remain in me. Jesus said very clearly that we're to bear fruit and not just flowers. Let me give you an example of this. When we first moved to the area, I had the opportunity to work with a friend, and we started a MOPS group, MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers, at our church. It's the only ministry I've ever known of where there's a waiting list to get in. We could take all the moms we wanted, but our nurseries were filling up with MOPettes. And so we had to put a limit on each one of what we could handle. And so there were women, if we had 40 to 60 ladies, there was another 20 waiting to get in. It was a great ministry, and I loved being a part of MOPS and running the MOPS program at the church. And then they asked me to be the council coordinator. That meant overseeing the 22 different MOPS groups that were in a particular area. And I prayed about it, and I thought, oh. Now, I knew I could do the job, because one of the things that you had to do is encourage the other leaders. And if you know anything about me, I love to do that. And then you had to put on some conferences every year, and speaking in front of people, it still makes me a little nervous, but like I'm not in the bathroom vomiting beforehand. Just saying. I know many of you are relieved. So I thought, you know, God, I can do this. I mean, up until that time, the 10 years previously, I had served as associate or executive pastors. This was not a hard job for me. And they kept asking me, Dana, please, won't you do this? We don't have anybody else, and you'd be perfect for the job. And deep down inside, I thought God was probably saying, I don't think so. But the more they asked, and the greater I saw the need, I said, okay, I'll do it for a little while. And as soon as I said that, I thought, I got to find a way to get out. So I had to organize a conference where we did a lot of teaching for the different positions in the MOP. So we had over 250 ladies come. We held it at Kempsville Presbyterian Church, and everyone was saying, oh, this was the best conference. It was so great. And I thought, well, God, if I'm not supposed to be here, why is it going so well? I held a tea at my house for all of the presidents or the leaders, the coordinators for MOPS. And I had them drive down from Maryland just to come on a Sunday afternoon. Oh, this is wonderful. MOPS International contacted me and they said, would you come and speak at the national convention? And I got to go to Chicago and speak. And I'm thinking, you would think if I wasn't supposed to be doing this, it would just be a bomb, wouldn't you? But that wasn't the case. But deep down inside, I'm thinking, I got to find a way to get out. Well, then the other council coordinator that worked in the state of Virginia took another position, and they said to me, kind of maybe asking, maybe telling, we need a council coordinator for the whole state. That includes all of the churches in Northern Virginia. Do you know how many MOPS groups were in Northern Virginia? A lot. And every time I would pray about it, rather than it bringing me delight, even though everything was going great, I knew it wasn't what I was supposed to do. And when it was all said and done and I had the opportunity to say, you know, I just know that this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing right now. I need to turn this over. I felt like, oh God, I am so sorry. And you know, later God showed me, you know what I did is I cut the flowers. And I had a beautiful bouquet. And that's what everybody was commenting on. They were commenting on this beautiful bouquet that I had presented to them. It smelled great, it looked great, but there was no fruit in it in my life. Now, it might have blessed somebody else, but there was no fruit coming here because I had been disobedient. Do you see, there's a big difference between being need-driven and being God-driven. You and I can be need-driven all the time. There are needs everywhere. And we could go around giving beautiful bouquets to people, and they could think we're just wonderful. And they could think they're blessed. Huh. But that's not what Jesus says here. He says, remain in me so that you can bear fruit. And in the first passage, we said it said much fruit. What that means in the Greek is much fruit, more fruit, abundant fruit, more fruit than you can think, a generous amount of fruit, a bushel or more. And sometimes we just settle for what's easy because the need is so great. It's so hard for us to say, no. See, I want to say yes to God. That's where my focus should be. And you know what I realized? You know what the Lord told me? He said, you know, Dana, you did it, and it was blessed. But you robbed somebody else from stepping up and doing what you did. Ugh. Wow. And I had to confess. I had to repent. I had to say, God, I'm so sorry. And I was so thankful when I got out of that. I mean, I ran. They said, will you come back? And I'm like, I don't think so. And I love the ministry. Please understand, it's a fantastic ministry. But it wasn't where the Lord had me at that season. But I learned some valuable things. God wants us to produce fruit. What does it mean to abide? John 15:7 says this, if you abide in me, or remain, it's the same word, and my words abide in you, remain in you. You may ask anything you want, and it will be granted. Sometimes we like to take away the end of the sentence, the part B, and run with it. You know, I'm going to ask God some stuff, and I'm hoping he's going to give it to me. That's the result of abiding. If we only run with that verse, we're like the flower girl walking down the aisle throwing petals everywhere. It doesn't have a lot of substance, right? But God wants something so much more for us. So what does it mean to abide? The word is minnow, and it means to stay, to remain, to continue, to be permanently placed in, or to permanently abide in one place. It means to not move. It's kind of like David says, I'm like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. That's what it means to abide. The idea is that something is rooted, unmoving, and stable. In the Greek, if we were to translate that sentence, we might say, if you steadfastly and continuously abide in me, and my word steadfastly and continuously abide in you, you may ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. You know what's so interesting to me is the word patience. It's a compound word, hupo, meaning under, and meno, meaning to remain or abide. Think of someone who's completely committed to maintaining his or her position to see the work through. That's what patience is. It sounds like a farmer working to produce a harvest. Now, as soon as a farmer goes out into the field and sees, let's talk about watermelon or cantaloupe. The flowers on a cantaloupe are beautiful. But when he sees the flower, he doesn't go out and start making a bouquet. He's thinking about the harvest. You and I, we've got to get our focus on the end game. We got to get our focus on this empty bushel basket, knowing that there's a harvest coming. And I don't want to sacrifice the fragrance of a flower over what's going to come in that bushel basket. How do we abide? Right here, John 15, 9 through 10. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The only way you and I are ever going to bear fruit is to keep his commandments. Do you know in Scripture, over 1,000 imperatives are found in Scripture. Jesus himself, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, gives us hundreds of imperatives. Now, some of them are repeated because we have the same kinds of stories. But sometimes we sit and we say, God, what is your will? Well, let's just go to Scripture and begin to find out. Bear one another's burdens. Pray without ceasing. Love each other. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Do we need to pray about those things? No, we need to be doing them and following the Spirit's lead. I cannot produce fruit if I'm going to be disobedient. I can't produce fruit until I know what His Word says. And so how do I abide? By keeping His commands, by saturating myself with Scripture. I giggled yesterday because I often listen to Scripture in the car. I was listening to Acts chapter 20, and for some reason my phone went on repeat. And I listened to Acts chapter 20 yesterday about 6 times. Even when I went to the doctor, it came on in the doctor's office. You know, people are looking at me. There's a big sign that says, turn off your phone. And, you know, Eutychus is falling out of the window because Paul's preached too long. Not necessarily the kind of thing you're going to give an altar call for. But God's word has got to abide in us. You know, for 21 days, I read Psalm 119 every single day, 176 verses. 21 days, I woke up in the middle of the night, often without even knowing what I was doing, praying those verses. God, I want to keep your commands. I want to keep your statutes. I run after you day and night. Let your words be always on my mouth, in my mouth, on me, around me. That's how we learn how to abide. Psalm 119:32, David says, I run the course of your commandments. I run toward them, not away from them. I run toward them. It's our get to, not our have to. And the result is that there's a bushel or more or many. Think of this. If you're one seed of an apple tree and you produce 700 or 800 apples, how many seeds are in those apples? And who's going to eat from your harvest? That's what I want you to realize tonight. People are eating from your harvest. If you don't abide, you could be robbing somebody of the seeds that they need. Listen, John 15, starting again at verse 10 to 17. When you obey my commands, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and I remain in his love. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow just as the fruit flows out of the basket. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I've loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Boy, anybody want to be called a friend of God? If you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friend, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, to love each other. Do you see what Jesus did here? He raised the bar. Up until this point, the entire law was summarized in this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Right? Basically, with all your ability. Love him with all you've got. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus blows that out of the water. Because now he says, I want you to love people the way I loved you. Look, I can't do that without fruit. And I can never do that without abiding. I can't. I mean, you're all beautiful tonight. Those of you who are listening at home or in the car, or wherever you are, I know that you're just as beautiful. But I can't love you without God. I can't love you without abiding and becoming more like him and producing that fruit. And if I really loved you, I would sacrifice anything to produce the fruit that would bless others. You see, those of us who are, our bushel basket is rather empty. Perhaps we've been sacrificing the fruit for the flower, taking the easy way. Now, it's beautiful and pleasing for a moment, but God's got so much more for us. You see, it's in all this fruit that the kingdom advances. For the fruit of the Spirit is first love, right? It's love. And that love comes from God, and I'm going to know that love. We need to abide, and that's making a choice. That's your choice and mine. I choose to obey. Holy Spirit, help me. I'm going to abide. And as we abide, we get the strength then to obey. I can't even obey without that kind of strength. So as I remain in God, I remain in the vine. I'm just a branch. And you're a branch. And you're a branch. And you're a branch. And together we're producing fruit. And when the vine dresser comes and prunes, you know, one of the things that I read about a vine dresser said, if I don't prune the vines, if I don't prune the branches, next year I'll have such a smaller crop. So sometimes we need to stand in line and say, okay, God, I'm ready for the pruning. Whatever that looks like, just do it. Why? Because I love you, Father, and because I love the people that you've given me, and I don't want to rob them of anything. See, it's only as I'm producing this fruit that I reflect the Father, right? And so I abide, I obey, I keep abiding, and then that love comes. Look, I can't manufacture that kind of love. You know, I've tried. Anybody ever tried? I'm gonna love this person. And do you ever notice that God puts those people in your life that you just feel like you have to say it? I'm going to love them. But when I abide, I begin to see that person differently. I begin to see that person through the eyes of Jesus. Instead of just seeing their anger and their contempt, I see their brokenness. I see their hunger. I see their need for fruit. And because I love, I'm going to remain in that place. Do you love Jesus tonight? Do you love God? Let's pray. Father, first of all, we just come to you and thank you. God, we thank you for allowing us to be a part of your be a part of your vineyard, to be a part of your orchard. God, we thank you for allowing us to bear your fruit. Lord, thank you that you chose us, each one of us. Thank you that you call us friends and you give us this opportunity, this privilege to bear fruit. Lord, in your kingdom, no one is barren. In your kingdom, no one is infertile. If only we would abide. Father, forgive us tonight for those times that we've settled for a bouquet, thinking that perhaps we were doing the right thing. But Lord, maybe we sacrificed some fruit in the process. So Lord, forgive us. Lord, let us take delight in the flower that's coming, because we know that thereafter comes the fruit. Help us to be patient, to wait. Lord, that's what abiding is about. Father, tonight we ask that you just drench us with your word. Father, drench us with your presence. We want to abide. Father, we want to have that attitude like David. I shall not be moved. And Father, I pray that the harvest that's here at Harvest would be bigger than we can imagine. That the seeds that are produced here would spread throughout Chesapeake and the seven city area. And for those that are listening, perhaps across the country, we pray the same for you and your area. Lord, let us be about the kingdom tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.